All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, January 31st of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have a 14-fight MMA card ready to get underway soon. We have an early NBA showdown. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. For the rest of the day, we have EPL soccer, we have COD, we have more NBA, we have NHL, we have golf, and we have League of Legends, so plenty of DFS action coming at you all weekend long. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on where you live. Got SaberSim pulled up on the screen. Did have a number of questions come in prior to the show, so we will start there and then see where things take us. All right. Next question. Can you show some ways to get ROI and sim win rate higher using NBA Minimax as an example? Okay. So what you're going to want to do, in my opinion, is you're going to want to study the lineups that are actually executing the thing that you want, right? So like, hey, I'm trying to get higher sim ROI. I'm trying to get higher sim win rate. You know, what do those portfolios of lineups look like? So I'm going to go back to yesterday. And we're going to go find the Minimax. All right. So far, so good. Let's let these results load. This is a 71,000 person contest, so it can take a little bit. It's okay. All right, so we do get to the results. I'm going to hop over to users. Still taking a little bit. All right, cool. So finally made it over to users. I'm going to filter for 150 maxers. All right. So let's say that you are, I'm going to pick a name, random name. All right. You're B Crimson 10. All right. B Crimson is right here. B Crimson 10, about 10% positive sim ROI. Not terrible. Positive is great. Some of the higher sets are like in like the 40, 30%. So like, hey, you know, I want to get a little bit better. I want to see if I can like raise that up. What can I do? Right. All right. So first thing I would do is going back to B Crimson. I think I'm going to pin them. All right. So this is me in this example, right? Okay, I'm using plenty of salary check. My average dupes are zero. My sim average score is like a little bit low. You know, some of these higher ones are like 270, 269. I think this 268 is like a little bit more the exception. But I think I want to be just like a little bit higher projected, right? Like three-ish points. If I can get like 3 points higher projected on average, that is going to make my lineups look really similar to the top lineups. The interesting thing, right, is that I have zero dupes. I think it's because of the sim average score. These other users who have the higher sim average score have higher dupes. So I think there's a little bit of figuring out like where you want to be. If I were B Crimson, I would probably be trying to shoot for like Hanukkah here. You know, they have one average dupe and they have a little bit higher sim average score. Seems like this sim average score is just like a little too low, even though they have zero average dupes. So I think I would be, instead of like, oh yeah, I want to be 273, 275 projected, I would be trying to be a little bit closer to like 270, even if that means one average dupe. So I like this kind of range. And these users are obviously grading out high, right? I'm talking about like Hanukkah and LOL here. So these are like kind of the two I'd be shooting to kind of like mimic. Now, that's like from like a macro perspective. You could get super granular and see like what their portfolios look like, what do their stacks look like, exposures, how do they handle chalk, right? That is like one angle. The other angle would be what you were talking about with sim win rate, right? So, okay, again, I'm looking at maxers. Now, what I would be trying to do is figuring out, okay, these sim win rate players, like what do their lineups look like? What's interesting to me is that the higher sim win rates, well, one, they're less duped, and two, their sim average score is a little bit lower, which is really interesting, right? I think ultimately what that kind of tells me is that these lineups, actually, I want to see this. Okay, yeah. So this is, in my opinion, this is what's happening. Notice the sim ROI folks. Their sim 99th percentile is like 700, 1,000, 500, 900, 700, 900, right? You look at sim win rate, 1,300, 1,100, 1,100, 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. So the sim 99th percent profits are higher. What this means to me is that the users who are optimizing for the sim win rate, who have the lower dupes, who have the higher sim average score, their lineups are more boom bust. So they're like, hey, I'm basically trying to ship. I'm trying to solo ship. When they're not shipping, I think that they are not cashing as often as the higher sim ROI players are. The sim ROI players, they're a little chalkier. They're a little bit higher sim average score. Their dupes are a little bit higher. They don't win as much in the top 1% bucket, but they probably finish higher more often in percentiles, not only winning, right? We're talking like top 10, top 20. They're cashing more probably. And that is why all of those other extra winnings are raising the sim ROI, but the 99th profit isn't as high. So it's really interesting. You know, it just kind of shows you can come at DFS from multiple different angles. And you got to kind of decide what avenue you want to go to. But these are like the metrics that I would be studying to kind of figure out, hey, how is this person approaching it? And then you get into their lineups and then say like, okay, you know, what are they doing that is leading to that thing, right? If you're optimizing for win rate, I think it probably makes sense to increase sim diversity. That is something that I would be experimenting with and trying to build lineups with higher upside at the expense of average performance. So just some thoughts here from looking at the minimax yesterday. Those are kind of the paths that I would start down. All right. Good one there to get us started. Next question. Hi, Andrew. I need a refresher on templates for each type of contest. Also, after contest sims run, how does the sim fill in the contest based on the pool size? Like, I do some trimming. Thanks. Okay. So two questions in one. We're going to go one at a time here. So the first one is, how do the templates effectively assign the groups in the contests? Okay. So we're going to assume that we are playing two 20 max contests. If you use one group per contest, it is going to give you two groups, both with 20 lineups. It's going to give you one group for one contest, one group for another contest. You're playing 20 entries in both. It'll look just like this, but except they'll both say portfolio, like that. That is what one group per contest does. What direct fill does, it will give you one group. It will put both contests in the one group, and then it will give you the total number of lineups that you need. So you're playing 220 maxes, that is 40 entries. It's going to give you 40 lineups. And then this will say to the contest section. All contests in one group we'll give you one group like Direct Fill or Saber System. This might be called Saber System on your Saber Sim. That is the same thing. This is like the original name, and then we changed it. What the all contests in one group does, it will give you one group, all the contests. However, the lineups will equal the max number of lineups in any contest. So what would happen is if I was playing 220 maxes, this would say 20 because the most entries I have in a single contest is 20. So both contests would get the same 20 lineups. So that is what the three templates are doing there. Second question was, after contest sims run, how do the sims fill in the contest based on the pool size? Like I do, I like to do some trimming things. Okay, so let's go back to the 220 max version. So let's say we run some lineups, we run some contest sims. Now, what's going to happen is if you're on Ultimate, which where you said you have the contest sims, so you would be on Portfolio Plus. Portfolio Plus is going to look at the results of the contest sim, and then it's going to use those to assign the lineups. So basically what's happening is it's figuring out which lineups, based on the ROI, play the best together. So if you were using uniques, it would just give you like highest ROI, second highest, third highest, fourth highest. But those lineups might not be the best pairing over the long term. What Portfolio does is says, okay, I see the ROI order, but it turns out when we ran the sims that lineup one and lineup three actually complemented each other better than if I were to play lineup one and lineup two. So it'll use one and then three, and then maybe it uses two after. It'll look at all the results and figure them out. But Portfolio always starts with the first highest ROI, and then it figures out which lineup below complements that one best. Then the next one complements the two that came before. Then the next one complements the three that came before, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's filling them in a really intelligent way. It's also filling them top down as far as groups go. So this group gets filled first, and then the second group. So the thing to note with that is that if you have this avoid duplicates across lineup groups turned on, well, the first 20 lineups that get used are not available for group two. We will auto sort your groups by dollars per entry. That's what this column is. Basically, the higher dollar per entry contests effectively matter more for your portfolio, right? If you're playing two contests, but one of them is a 25 cent 20 max, and one of them is a $5 20 max. Well, the $5 20 max matters so much more to your portfolio because it makes up most of your entry fees. We want to make sure that one gets the best lineups first. And then the second best lineups can go into the lower dollar per entry contest. So that's what's happening here with portfolio groups, orders. You can always reorder them. You can drag and drop like this. You can click on other columns like fee or different things like that to reorder them as well. All right. Next question. Hi, Andrew. Could you do a refresher on the correlation slider? And also, do you late swap every time there is an update before the next game on a slate? Good question. So two questions. We're going to go one at a time. First one is correlation slider. What is the correlation slider doing? So the correlation slider is effectively making it more likely players who are positively correlated end up in the same lineup together, or it is pushing players who are negatively correlated further away. What this does is for the negatively correlated players, it makes the bar higher that the players have to reach in order to end up in the same lineup together. Like, yeah, okay, these players are negatively correlated. We're pushing them apart. But it just so happens that they performed so well in this set of sims that they still should be in the same lineup together. And then for the positively correlated players, when this goes up, it makes it more likely that those players end up in lineups together. So like if I take Danny Wolfe from yesterday, he is more likely to end up in lineups with Claxton, and then he would be less likely to end up in lineups with, say, Kyle Anderson or De'Ron Sharp. So the raw values here matter. Like, hey, this is a negative 12, and then say we're looking at like a positive 0.7, right? So the correlation slider is effectively an amplifier. Well, it would push Sharp further away than it would push Treor closer together, because 0.7 is just absolute in terms of absolute value smaller than 0.12 in the negative direction. All right. Second part of the question was, do you late swap every time there is an update before the next game on a slate? Good question. I do not, just to be frank. Well, it's going to depend. I'm a little bit subjective in my analysis here. Not everyone feels the same way, and that's okay. Some people like to swap at every swap window, and I respect it, but I don't do that. So what I do is I pull up the NBA lineup alert channel in Discord. I like to look at the Sims and basically determine, hey, do I think these Sims are important enough for me to swap? So now that is the subjective part, if I think that it matters enough. So like, for instance, you know, maybe I swap for the LaVine news because he goes up like 1 point. He's kind of, I had some exposure to him, but maybe I don't really swap for this second set of news. I didn't have any Mo Wagner. Colin Murray Boyle's projection moves less than 1 point. You know, maybe if these are spread out, you know, I might swap for the first one. I might not swap for the second one. I would definitely swap if a player was ruled out, like Craig Porter Jr. here. And then next would be like this Sim down here. Like, I probably wouldn't have swapped for this. I'm not really getting any Lonzo Ball, Ryan Dunn. These guys are like pretty low projected. A lot of these other guys are moving very, very minor. This is not something I would have swapped for. The only thing with that, right, is that there is still like live ownership being released. So if you're someone who's trying to, you know, take advantage of every single edge that there possibly is, well, at every lock window, yes, some ownership does become available. So swapping would allow you to take advantage of that. I'm still not swapping at every window, just for personal preference, you know, I'll say quality of life type of stuff. But if you can do that and it is not a burden to you, I think it's okay to swap at every window, but I don't think you have to. So those are just my opinions on the topic. All right. With that said, looks like we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in on a Saturday. I will be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.